Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Right here. Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 20 minutes to noon and the start of the race day. And Brad Cox, every day is the start of a race day because he's got horses going in a lot of markets, including right here in New York. And he brought out Monomoy Girl for another wonderful performance in the Breeders' Cup this time. And her three-year-old championship was pretty much assured quite a bit earlier in the year when you added everything up, but this was really a tour de force end to the campaign, and for the team behind her, been a magical ride, starting with Liz Crowe picking her out, and Brad Cox joins us. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
No, not at all. Looking forward to it. Missed you yesterday. And, you know, you have a horse like this. You're coming back home to Churchill. And, you know, you still got to go out and do it. She ends up drawing wide. Didn't hurt her in the Oaks, and it didn't hurt her on Saturday.
Yeah, no, the post didn't really play a role. I mean, I thought it was a good thing where, you know, Farron could kind of, you know, see who was going to go to the front and set off of him if he chose to, and it worked out really well. She got a great trip, and she didn't let us down. She come through, pulled through.
What has been, through the course of the year, what has been, you know, the most difficult aspect of maintaining this kind of a form? I mean, to come back running the way she did in the Rachel Alexandra, basically is giving you an A race every time you let her over.
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing with her, sometimes you kind of worry with the time between races if you have her fit, especially early on. You know, she started out with the Rachel, and, you know, we're kind of thinking, you know, we kind of decided last fall, you know, let's take a good run at this Ashland at Keeneland. And I believe it was like 7 weeks between the Rachel and the Ashland. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing with a filly like this is, you know, you just hope you have her ready to go with the time between races. She had as much as 9 weeks. I believe that was between the coaching club and the Cotillion, and then 6 weeks between the Cotillion and the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, just to kind of keep her sharp. And we kind of let her down after her races and just kind of chill out and be a horse and space her works. And, you know, once we get her back on a work schedule, she gets her game face on 2 or 3 weeks before her races, and she she, you know, she was ultra consistent for us, and she's just a testament to how good of a filly she is to show up every time and give us what she's got.
Explain to everybody. You said something interesting, and yeah, there was, you know, there was a good 7+ weeks between the Rachel and the Ashland. How quickly, Brad, do you note a horse losing a fitness edge and maintaining the decision making in terms of weight loss and the horse getting tucked up and you know basically getting over you know basically overfit as it were? I mean, what, explain to people what goes into to that decision making and the happy balance you try to strike.
Well, I mean, obviously every horse is different, but I guess the biggest thing is, you know, you just watching the horse, you know, how they come out of the races. I mean, obviously if they run a hard race, you know, they do tend to be a little drawn up and, you know, if they put a big effort in, you know, it seems to take something out of them most of the time. And I mean, this filly, you know, she's no different. I mean, she, you know, after her races, you know, it takes something out of her. She's not like I've ever thought 2 days after a race, like it could run her next week, nor would I even think that. But, you know, just kind of watch her and get them back to the track, more importantly, probably, you know, a week later, and just kind of see how they're moving is probably the biggest thing. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, you start working them, and they just kind of tell you, you know, if they're maintaining their form or maintaining their fitness and, you know, where they are and if they're wanting to do it. So, I mean, it's just basically, you know, just watching them, letting them tell you, you know, if they're, you know, happy and forward and moving well in their works and how they come out of them. And she has. I mean, she's been ultra consistent all year. I mean, I can't think back one time that I've watched her breeze or, you know, had a breeze where I just kind of thought, ah, that wasn't, you know, really what we were looking for. I think her first work after the Cotillion, we worked her by herself, and actually Florent worked her. She worked a little slower than we were looking for. But, you know, we wasn't looking for much. So it was, you know, I think she worked like 51-2 or something. And, you know, that was, you know, really one of the only works we've had all year where it was just kind of like, it was a good work, but it just, we were kind of looking like for a 49, something a little sharper. And, you know, we ended up getting it the next 2-3 weeks with her leading into the distaff. But, it, you know, once again, they're all different. It seems like the good ones, you know, do things easy. You know, she you can work her 5/8, she'll work in a minute, gallop out in 13 or 14. And, you know, it just doesn't take a lot out of her. So, That's really, you know, what we're looking for. That's what we want to see with her. We want to, you know, leading up to her races, just keeping her sharp and happy and doing things, you know, with a little left on the gas pedal.
Speaking of gas pedal, what was the discussion with Florent Giroux, and strategically, how did you want to approach things, and then take us around the mile and the eighth?
Well, honestly, I mean, it worked out. It, like I said earlier, I mean, she got a great trip, and that's what we felt like we needed in order to win, you know, facing these older mares, older fillies and mares. But it worked out well. I mean, I told him, you know, ultimately that's up to the jock on you know, where to place her. He's on top of her. And we just kind of, we didn't think there was a lot of speed in the race. It didn't look like it on paper, and we was kind of hoping somebody would bounce out there and show the way. We didn't really know who. And she could track a horse. I think she's a little better when she can just like set right on the outside of a horse and you know, kind of make her move. And I think he thought, you know, that the plan was to set a little bit longer than sometimes he does. I mean, I think in the Oaks, you know, he kind of asked her to go and put away her stablemate Sassy Sienna, like the, you know, 3.5. And then she had to battle, you know, Wonder Godot down the lane. But, you know, and as far as the, Breeders' Cup goes, I think he set a little bit longer on her. He turned for home, and I mean, turning for home, everybody was kind of under a drive and kind of sticking, and a horse was under full drives, and it looked like he had a little left, and he did, and it worked out really well. I rode her very confident, and I think that's the biggest thing, and he, you know, obviously he's rode her all but one start in her career, so he knows her as well as anyone, and he's you know, she's obviously, it's, you know, she showed it in the Cotillion. She can pull some things on you. She did it in the Goldenrod last year. And, you know, he rode her with a lot of confidence, and I think she responded well.
Well, and really at no point did she
did she not look like the winner? I mean, it had a lot of the same look as the Oaks did, actually, you know, in the late stages and as they came down the stretch. That was the buzz that I got.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she didn't really, she had to hold off a filly or two, but didn't really get into a battle down the lane. It looked like, you know, Turner Vroom was pretty confident she could get there with the position we were in, and she got the job done. It was a very, very impressive race, and she bounced out of it in good shape.
Talk a little bit about the win, and, you know, your weekend, in fact, was pretty much concentrated on Saturday. You sent a couple out on Friday in the street sense and in the marathon, but really the day was, you know, was leading up to Distaff and the turf. You did have to, you couldn't completely devote the post-race glow, afterglow, because you had to get ready with our glow for the turf. But talk about what it means to you and having, you know, this Breeders' Cup win first, you know, coming at Churchill, coming at home, basically, for you.
Well, I mean, it was huge. I mean, those Breeders' Cup races, I mean, they're the toughest race to win in America by far. I mean, maybe with the exception of the Derby, but I mean, they're just incredibly tough races and competitive races. And we started the day off with Golden Mischief and a really nice, really good fifth in the Filly Mare Sprint. She was a little closer to the pace than we expected, but and 7/8 could be a little bit of a stretch for her. But she ran extremely well, and then we followed that up with Will Call. He ran a good race as well on the turf. That was a very fast race. He was a finished fifth, and proud of both of those horses' efforts. And then, you know, honestly, I keep track of, you know, that had fifth five starts and our careers in Breeders' Cup races, and we had the boards, you know, Monomoy did, you know, it was big for us, you know, just to win one and mark it off, and then we followed it up with Arklow running a really, really good fourth in the turf, super pleased with his effort and performance, and yeah, overall it was a great Saturday, and you know, just to win, you know, you hear about trainers being 0-for a lot in the Breeders' Cup, and you know, they're tough races to win, and some of these trainers have won, you know, tons and tons of grade ones at other venues, and it's just tough to win those Breeders' Cup races. I can remember, you know, early on, Bobby Frankel had a hard time finally winning his first Breeders' Cup. I think it was the sprint at Belmont years ago.
Yep.
With Squaddle.
Yep.
Squirtle Squirt.
Yeah, Squirtle Squirt.
Exactly. Yeah, and then he started banging them out pretty regular, but they're unbelievably hard races to win, and to finally to win one, it was it's somewhat of a relief, to be honest with you, because they're extremely tough races, and you know, you got to get a good trip in them, because you know, most of those horses are prepared by, you know, the best trainers in the world and best riders in the world, and they're solid deep competitive races.
Well, you know, to win that first Breeders' Cup, you know, you're funny. It, beginning of the year, we were waiting for that first grade one. Now suddenly, you know, now there's, I think, seven maybe, right? At least seven, I think, this year, because she's won. What has she won?
Yeah, she's won five, and Long and Value picked up one in Canada. So I think it's
there you go.
Total.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's been a good year for sure.
Unbelievable. And you know, the team behind Monomoy Girl, and I mentioned Liz Crow's purchase of her, and a, you know, a very typical, very modest kind of a buy at the start of things, and the group that the amalgam came together with Michael Dubb and with Sal Cumin, Stuart Grant and his Elkstone group, and Mike Caruso, who I know was beside himself. Mike has had he's come to Breeders' Cups, and this I think he feels is really the best thrill of all that he's had in the great success that particularly he and Michael Dubb and partners have had. This is a, you know, this is a really active and great group of owners.
Yeah, no, they've got a good bond, and they all work together, and we all work together, you know, the decision making on this filly. And you know, Michael Dove talked to him earlier today, and he said, you know, it's just amazing that the plan we've put in place, and it's just, you know, she's executed and accomplished and been able to, you know, everything we've asked of her. I mean, she's just, you know, a horse of a lifetime, and she just brings it every time for us, and she's unbelievable.
Well, there's already speculation about the potential opportunities for her going forward, and the murmurs about participating in the Pegasus, a little intriguing. What further thoughts are there here a few days later, since these topics first were broached?
Well, we've not really made a decision, and I don't think we will probably to maybe, you know, a few weeks from now on whether we'll move forward with that. We're going to let her down a little bit after that race. We have plenty of time to prepare for the Pegasus if that's what we decide to do. And right now we're just kind of just letting her chill out. She's still at the barn at Churchill, and just, you know, letting her be a happy horse right now and, you know, recover from her race. She did bounce out of the race in good shape. So we'll just, you know, talk it over the next few weeks and come up with a game plan. The race is not till the later part of January, so we got plenty of time.
Absolutely, and we'll wait and watch. And of course, you touched on Arklow, and his name came up in the previews of the weekend. James Scully thought that he'd be a perfect candidate to grab a share late, and that's what he did with his fourth. Golden, you know, Golden Mischief, that was an interesting performance because she kind of just ran evenly, and at any point, you probably were thinking to yourself, all right, let's go now. But she just kept kind of running at one pace.
Yeah, that's she was a little bit closer than I expected. The pace was hot. Obviously, the filly that won the race come from way out of it, and some of the fillies that were hit the wire together came from out of it. But she made a good run. She kind of got pushed a little wide around the turn as well, and just kind of flattened a little bit late. But she's actually been retired. She went back to Judmont, and she'll be bred this breeding season, and will you know, hopefully your babies in a few years.
Absolutely. Well, and speaking of babies, let's get a couple of quick shots in. I'll let people know, and they should be aware that as soon as by maybe today's Thursday, there's a chance that by Sunday, a good chance that by Sunday, you're going to hit 1,000 wins.
Well, I hope so. we'll have to get busy. Yeah, no, it's something that, you know, it seems like they've, you know, I can remember when number 100, I think 200, 300 in the last, you know, I think I remember when 500, and then it's just kind of like just trying to roll through them as quick as we can, and I guess when we hit 1,000, we'll be, you know, the goal will be work on getting to 2,000. So, but, you know, hopefully we can get it done this weekend.
Give us a couple of insights onto these maidens, particularly Shining Knight later today, and first-time starter for Judmont. Judmont homebred by Into Mischief and has actually been gelded. This is a three-year-old. Delayed some a little bit of time to get to the races.
Yeah, this horse started in California with Mr. Baffert, and he came to us this summer. He was gelded before we got him. But he's been training well. Probably a horse that's going to need two turns, you know, Into Mischief, great sire. And I do think you're going to see the best of him at two turns. But I do think he'll run well today. He's been training well, and he's ready for his debut.
And also, looking ahead, you got a firster this weekend. Give us a little insight on Holly Molly Dolly.
This is a filly for Lucky Seven, a family here in Louisville, and she's been training forward. I do think she's probably, you know, starting on the grass. I do think she's going to probably be our best surface, so we didn't waste any time getting her on the grass. She's an arch filly that was bought in September, and she's ready to run. I think she should make a good run this weekend.
I've also got to ask for our friend John in New York. John wants to know about, you know, we got that New York bred actually that's running this weekend too, Trance, and I Am Spartacus. What's the latest?
I Am Spartacus we backed off to him a little after his last race. He had a little bit of a setback, so he's getting some time right now. And who was the other horse you asked me about, Steve?
Trance, and we're running against
Trance.
You.
Yeah.
We're running against you in that state bred race on Saturday.
Trance is doing well. We thought he'd really move forward in his second race at Saratoga. He's only run the two times, and just was really tough to deal with in the paddock that day. I think he kind of left his race in the paddock that day at Saratoga. Since been gelded, and I think they added ground to help him. Not necessarily the turf. I think he'll handle the turf, but either or, I think the ground's going to help him more so than just the. I'm sorry. The distance will help him more than the ground. And if it does come off, we would run either way. So, but he's doing well. He seemed like he's gelded, and we freshened him up a little bit. I've sent him to a farm, and we've had him back going there at Belmont, and I think he's ready. Should make a good account of himself this weekend.
All right. Well, then we'll look for a Kid Chocolate Trance Dead Heat. All right.
There you go. I'll take it.
Brad, congratulations. Absolutely delighted for you, of course. And this has been a magical year. And when everything's done, you'll have trained a champion as well.
Yep, we can call her a champion now. I was reluctant to say it before the distaff, but she's definitely earned the right to be called 3-year-old champion.
No doubt about it. A brilliant year for Brad. And like we say, the next couple of days, he'll hit 1,000 wins. And obviously, it's already been, it's been the best year of his career, and there are going to be many, many more. Thanks, as always.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
Follow Brad on Twitter, Brad Cox Racing. Yep, that's why I always got to confirm those. You think you see it, but you got to make sure that you're right. Brad Cox Racing, and really a great story from right there, close by in the neighborhood, born and raised, and a magical year, not just with Monomoy. He's had a great year all around. They went by really fast, and we didn't even get to everything. We'll try to push anything we missed into tomorrow, a weekend preview. There's a bunch of stakes to wear it. Let's see, Laurel and Gulfstream West. Some good racing lined up for Saturday. Let's just keep the weather right? Is that be too much to ask? If you're playing today, Aqueduct and Charlestown and Churchill and Delta, Evangeline, Finger Lakes, Golden Gate, Gulfstream West, Hawthorne, Laurel, Penn National. What am I missing? Remington. That should keep you busy. Camarero. Good luck if you're playing. HRRN later this afternoon right here. Sirius XM. Replay tomorrow 6 to 9. And we'll look ahead to the weekend in racing after Breeders' Cup. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Thanks, everybody. Good luck.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multitrack today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.